Go ahead and open your Bibles. We're going to be in Genesis 24th chapter through the 27th. I think we're probably going to be venturing around there for the next couple weeks. And we have another beautiful Old Testament bridal type tonight. And as most of you can imagine, it's our precious sister, Rebecca. Now, as opposed to arguing over, well, was she technically a Gentile or a Hebrew at the time that she was ministered at the well to marry Isaac, I'd rather focus on the things that matter. You know, some people try to say, well, you know, when Paul gave the sermon there on Mars Hill, was he, you know, wearing red socks or blue? I don't know, you know. You know what I'm saying. So there's nutty stuff that goes on, and God help us not be about nutty stuff. But we're going to focus, by the grace of God, on the grace of God that her life magnified. And I thank the Lord it was for her and those that were around her, but God specifically had her life and that testimony, and they wrote those things for us. And I'm grateful to God, and in the depth and detail. And this is one of the most detailed and encouraging illustrations, if you will, of the heart of Jesus Christ, that he is going to have a wife. And he is going to have a wife out from among the believers in this day. And I have to tell you, I had to kind of be careful getting into Genesis 24, because the last time we did that back in 2011, we were there for 8 weeks. And that's a good thing, don't get me wrong, but this isn't going to be a detailed overview of Genesis 24 like we had at that time. Now, I would encourage you, get on that website and go back. God gave us some line upon line detail of that love story. Those hidden things, once again, that were written for us, that were revealed to us through Paul's gospel by the Holy Ghost. And it's wonderful. You get on the website, you go to that archive section, and I believe it's under Genesis 24, chapter 24. So, because really, it's probably the most concise and detailed story to us of the bride in the entire Word of God. It truly is, it's 67 verses, and it's complete in how the story from beginning to end details in such vivid imagery and metaphor and type and whatever you want to say, shadow of the bride for Jesus and how beautiful it is. It opens up with the plan and the purpose of grace. God, seen through Abraham, that his son is going to have a wife. And Abraham sends his master, if you will, out not to the world, but he sends, Abraham sends his servant, sends his servant out to find a wife for Isaac into the people of Abraham. He's going to find that wife for his son, just like God will find the wife for his son, not in this, out of this world per se, but out of the believers of this world. And I thank God how sweet that is. It truly is the rib portion, as we studied the last couple weeks there in Adam, that was taken out of Eve, and made Eve out of that sleeping body. And Abraham here sends his servant, just like God sent to us the Holy Ghost, to find the wife for his son. And that's the time that we live in. And aren't we thankful? And how wonderful it is. I was just reading again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Quench not the Spirit. It's a huge, huge thing. It's one of the everything. That's all things. Don't quench the Spirit. You know, you are so thankful to God. We have this wonderful truth. Amazing. The whole counsel of God. And I thank the Lord in that little portion of scripture there, not to vary too much from it, but it's just so impressed upon my heart again, is, you know, the praying always, not ceasing in prayer and being encouraged in that. But then it goes right into, and quench not the Spirit. It's so wonderful that we understand the need of the Holy Ghost, not just to minister, but to have that love in the Word of God shed abroad in our hearts. The love for one another, the love for the truth, and in that encouragement. And I'll tell you, when you have that arsenal, then you're ready, praise God, to flee even the very appearance of evil. See, a lot of people try to backtrack. You know, they try to say, well, I'm going to flee this and do that. No, no, no. You need the Word of God. You need to be in prayer, and you need to be in the Spirit. And then, praise God, now there's a yielding that goes on. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing what can transform in your life. But I just, again, thank the Lord for this. So we have the plan and the purpose of the grace of God. And that's to, the word of his grace is to build up, to basically completely bring forth a readied wife for his son. And praise God, we have the provision, which happens to also be grace. Isn't that amazing that it's all grace? The provision of grace, that grace meeting that was at the well. Rebecca had a grace meeting at the well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just as Paul's gospel has met every one of us. Amen. Yes, it has. Praise the Lord. And it met us individually. It meets you alone. You know that it's just for you, in a sense. And she was told the entire proposal, as the word of God says in the 24th chapter, verse 10, he had all the master's good in his hands. Just as we have the whole counsel of God. We have all truth because Jesus Christ sent us the Holy Ghost. Amen? So I said, we are so thankful to God that the Lord told us. He said, I must go to send him. Many things I want to tell you. You can't bear them, but when he's come, that Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. Isn't that wonderful? And then in that all truth, praise God, we know that through the Spirit, we can then go on into understanding and having enlightened eyes of understanding in Paul's gospel, the depths of the heart of Jesus Christ. All the things of the Son revealed to us, and they're given. Isn't that wonderful? They're given. They're not earned. The word of God is not earned. It's all given. Hallelujah. It's the grace of God. That grace that was shown to Rebecca at the well. The only thing that was required for her was to hear it and say, I will go. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. And that's just for us. Amen. See, we're not here to earn anything, but I need to know. I need to hear this message. I need to be sitting at that well and be ministered by the Holy Ghost. The depth of the heart of the bridegroom. Who wants you? Isn't that interesting? I love that because that's the appointment that each and every one of us have and had at that time of the ministering of bridal truth to our heart. Grace drew you. Grace met you. Grace ministered to you. Praise the Lord. The depth of divine grace that called you out and circled you. Oh, I thank the Lord. Praise God. See, we're going to read about two that came out of the womb of this precious sister. But it was one that was called with that grace. That the Lord knew that heart would receive that grace. And that happens to be Jacob, as we know in that story. So, that's you. In type, do you understand that's you? Yeah, I don't care how you've been feeling. Oh, I've been unlucky. No, you haven't. You got it. You got it all. And Lord, encourage us and to know what we have and what we've been called to. Hallelujah. But she says, I'll go. And impressed even further, I'll go now. Because of the value, praise God, the value, if you will, of that message. So she received grace, she understood grace, and she completely believed in the grace that would give her her husband. Isn't that something? She didn't have to earn her husband. It was already done. See, the ministering message at that well, that contract was done right there. We'd studied about the ancient Hebrew wedding, if you will. That announcement went out to the village, to the women. Will you have my son to marry? Well, one would step forward and say, I will. That contract, that marriage contract was signed right there. It was done. Those bracelets were put on her, the earrings, done. But what happened at that time was the man would go and prepare the house. Isn't that amazing how that works? Get it ready for the wife. And what was required? Just abiding as a readied wife. Amen? and praise the Lord. She said, I will go. So all she had to do was go unto him. Nothing again earned. It was done, finished, just because of the grace of God. And then finally, the power of the grace of God. So we've had the plan and purpose of grace, the provision of grace, and now the very power of grace. Because you would think that, well, my goodness, in grace's provision, just knowing how I'm loved, that should be enough. Well, the Lord gives you the power of grace because you need it. No matter how wonderful and beautiful and all these things, he still has to do the work. He has to give us the desire. He has to give us that love. And he does it time and time again because he's going to show us grace. And he shows us grace oftentimes when I don't feel like it, he abides faithful. When I don't believe it for a moment, he still abides faithful. Isn't that amazing? See, that is our God. He's going to magnify his grace. So finally, that power of grace, it leads us. It encourages us. It strengthens us and gives us such absolute assurance and desire for the riches of the word of his grace. She hears the love of her bridegroom and she says, I will go. She sees the value of the love of the bridegroom. And that power gives her willingness to depart. You know, it's not easy to depart from things that we're used to, things that we've loved, naturally speaking. It's not. But when it's first love, I'll tell you, get any of these kids and ask them right now. You know, that might be 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. Well, you know what? There's somebody, you know, going to marry you someday. Are you ready to leave mom and dad right now? No, I don't want to leave mom and dad. No. You know, I mean, they're not going to leave that house. You get what I'm saying. You'd never want to leave that house. I was 12, you would take me away from my dad. But then, as the story goes, along came Polly. And isn't that something? And I had to go. And I tell you what, I love my mom and dad more than I ever loved them at any time. Because I really started to appreciate them more and more all the time. But there was a first love that drew me right out of that house. Isn't that something? See, and that's exactly what the power of grace does. And that's why the Lord says, know the love of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we go on, and the value of that love causes her to depart, go through a strange country, out into a wilderness, by faith alone, all the way to the bridegroom. And then to kind of sum it up, I love that. 67 verses in that wonderful chapter. 66 and a half verses are all about the proposal, all about the message, all about the love of the bridegroom for her. One half of one verse is about the journey from where she leaves all those weeks and months to get to him are mentioned in one half of one verse. It's all about the message. And I pray that that really hits us and makes it clear. Those that will go and finish focus on the love story. They don't focus on the suffering and the trial. The Shulamite showed us that in the Song of Solomon. Amen. He was there. She loved him, but yet she was looking at the myrrh on her hands as he came to the door to receive her. And she missed it. God help us. We understand what trials are. We understand the suffering. And I've been thankful we understand. Somebody said, well, I don't really understand. And it was a brother in the Lord that knows the truth and loves the truth. I said, I'm going to be sweet, kindly here. I'm going to just correct that just a little bit. You do understand. When we don't understand is when we're seeing things from this life. When you see things through this, seated in the heavens in Christ, you understand. You do. The Word of God, let me tell you something, is the mind of Christ. And his mind understands. Know it by the grace of God. Believe it. That is such power. Now, I do encourage you, go back, if you will. Study that out. Listen to it. It'll minister again and again. But the Lord's put on my heart for this Rebecca study that we're going to launch into now. We're going to look at some of the highlights and glories of the spirit of Rebecca. The bridal fruitful heart. that I believe was so evidenced and speaks to us and gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory that was in this sweet sister. So without any more delay, let's move on over to Genesis 25. And this is the time when she is going to give birth to her sons. And that's Genesis 25, and we'll begin reading from verse 19. And these are the generation of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? She must have had quite a struggle going on in her womb. Amazing to go, because I'm sure people had told her before, you know, they're going to wiggle around a little bit. And all. I mean, there was a war going on in there. And we see that war kind of going on today, do we not? Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Says it again, turn on over to Romans chapter 9. And it says it like this, kind of touched on that a little bit earlier. But in chapter 9 and of Romans, verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, that gets your attention. And I'll tell you, she received the word of God in this. And see, that's really important, brothers and sisters. Sometimes things of the word of God can be hard to be received. And I'm not necessarily going to say that was an easy thing or not, but I'll tell you one thing, the testimony of the Lord of sweet Rebekah, she received the word of the Lord. And that's what was powerful in her heart. And you talk about a bridal encouragement to us. That is the heart of the bride. She receives the word of the Lord. It's yea and amen. It's what is, and that's it. He said it, that's it. Praise God. Now, it doesn't mean it's not going to hurt, but you move with it. Though younger, the elder would serve the younger. And yes, even though Esau was also her son, she heeded to the word of the Lord that the older would serve the younger. The grace was to fall upon Jacob, that grace that fell upon us. Amen. Just like us. Hallelujah. And the word moved this woman, and the word moved in this woman. Praise God. And especially for her son. And see, that's what the word does with bridal saints. It moves in us, doesn't it? It steers the life. It takes over. And by the grace of God, the word of God wills and does of his good pleasure in us. Amen. And it's beautiful how the Lord does that. And it's amazing because we stand back and you know it's not you. It's just God and his great grace. And, you know, in bridal saints, the word is everything. And the word moves everything in our lives regarding everything in life. And once again, especially regarding people that we love. And in this case, especially our children. Amen. Ones that truly do love the word love others. And you love them in the truth. And you love them for the truth. And you want the truth for them. And by the grace of God, you do everything. And again, this is only by the grace of God to encourage more truth in your home. You want your children to win Christ. You want your children to be saved. You want your children to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You want them to run on and to win Christ as bridegroom. Amen. That's our life. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. And everything that we do by the grace of God. And I thank the Lord. It's evident. It's evident. And I thank God for you. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Because that's just the purpose of his grace. And it's working mightily. Praise God. And we pray for one another. Because we go through these things. And you know what? Nothing's new under the sun. And we all have these struggles and problems and things. And it's so wonderful that those that have gone through can come back and they can comfort us. Amen. Oh, it just makes the hair on the back of my neck just stand up so sweetly. And all the comfort that I've received from the saints all these years and thanking the Lord in times. And now by the grace of God to be able to testify of that. But not just that we testify it just because of experience. But we testify of it because it is the word of the Lord. Now, it's wonderful when he gives us the experience, and it isn't it? Amen? But we still go back. It wasn't my experience. It's the word of the Lord. And that's the beautiful thing. It's the all-powerful word. Praise God. So, we're in good hands. Amen? So, we thank the Lord that he holds us. But we will see in this study, really, that it is Rebekah and not Isaac that truly presses the most toward the mark for the prize of God's perfect will for her life and even for her son. It is amazing. And that's what's so glorious. And I think people that don't understand and know the word of God that, you know, say, you know, things that, well, it doesn't magnify. It magnifies God. And the word of God magnifies God in the vessels that want to magnify God, whether it is a man or a woman or even a child. Praise the Lord. So I thank God that we can be encouraged in this fullness. But this same full passion that caused her to leave her home to go to Isaac, who he did not know, that heart has not changed for the passion of the word of God when it speaks to her heart. The pattern of the passion for the word of God never changes. It's consistent. It's vibrant in every part of our life. And that kind of leads into where the Lord's really steering my heart, if the Lord tarry, for our convention Saturday. That super love in that supernatural life that causes us those ingredients that line up for every part of our life. And the word of God gives you those ingredients specifically for everything. In our households, as husbands, as wives, as children, and rearing them in business, in working, friendship, courtship. It's all there. But without the ingredients, you'll never get there. And it needs to be in all things, all aspects of our lives. And this is what's such a precious testimony of this sister. She didn't just quit and say, well, I've got my husband. Now I've got a child. And I've got a child that I need to encourage in the same way in the Lord as the Lord encouraged me. We're not going to vary from it. It's a pattern. It's exact. It's specific. It didn't matter that there's a new set of rules or a new set of circumstances in the world. The word of God never changes. And Lord, give me that passion. And that's the consistency of the bridal heart. It doesn't change. It goes on. It presses on. You tell me it's different? No, it ain't. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank the Lord for this, and we move with that in that boldness of the word of God. And she knew, even though the word had spoken, that was the provision given to her son, by faith she knew that he needed to lay hold of it. See, even though, listen to this, it's just like us, even though we know the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you still have to lay hold of it. You still have to lay hold of it. And then as you lay hold of it, you hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Amen? Praise God, amen. It was given to Jacob. It was there. God had said it. But I'll tell you one thing. Mom knew. That bridal heart knows. You go in there and you possess it.
You go get it. Hallelujah. And that's the beautiful thing about this sweet sister. She sacrificed everything. There was a risk, but there was no risk to God. But naturally speaking, there was a risk. She was going to have that for Jacob against everything. Anything that would come up against her, even her loving husband, truly, if it takes defying, in a sense, our loved ones, it doesn't make mention really of that in a way, but it was because her whole life was about the one thing, the prize. That woman's life moved for the prize. And you could tell, I mean, a lot of people would sit there and say, well, that was a selfish woman. Look at her. She left her family. She left everything. She didn't even know who that guy was. She wasn't raised that way. And then she goes off. I've got to have that one, and I'm going now. And then you could say maybe the same thing. I'm sure people would say, well, look at that. She doesn't love this and that, and she's not being good in her household and all this. And look what she did to her husband and everything. She didn't care. She wasn't like going back and forth in her head of, you know, how am I going to go about this? No, it was exact. You know, the people will say, well, she didn't have to do it this way. She didn't have to do it that. Let me tell you something. This is the word of God. And that was the way it was going down. And those before ordained good works that we walk therein, praise the Lord, there was a perfection because of the passion for the word of God. And a lot of times it doesn't make sense to man, but I'll tell you what, it's glorious to God. And you keep going after it, and you keep on going. No matter what the naysayers say, go on. Hallelujah. This encourages me. Now, she set out to win, hallelujah, one thing, the birthright for her son. She knew that he needed to possess it, not just be told of it, but go in there boldly and take it. Amen? Now, do you think that, well, and like you said, you don't say a little guy, the 40-year-old guy here, you know. Do you think that he just going on in there and, you know, take it anyway? No, he had to be encouraged of his mother. Had to be encouraged here to go take that and to go in there boldly, just like, I believe, a Caleb and a Joshua. See, God had given all the land to Israel, but only two went in there by faith and took it. Just think, all those millions, it was theirs too, wasn't it? Do you realize that every child of God, this is theirs too? It's right there. I would. I'm not a respecter of person. It's all right there. It's all right there for them. And truly for all men. I appreciate that. Because I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. But you think they're especially for the family of God. It's all right there, is it not? But you've got to go in and possess the land. That's it. And there's no excuse. You just either say, well, I want it or I don't. And all throughout the word of God, these are the hearts that we see. Now let's look at her heart here in chapter 27. Verses 8 and 9. All right? This is when she's given instruction to old Jacob about this. It says now in verse 8, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Tell you what, she's fired up. She knows we don't have much time. I think she remembered that when she was a young lady being courted at a well. You got to go now. It never changes. Time is of the essence because the message is now. Fire it up. Let's go, Lord. We got to move. Praise God. Because it's not going to be there. There's only going to be a moment of time and it's going to be gone again. What does she say in verse 9? Listen to these words. Go now. Go now. That never left her heart. There's never a delay. People say about my preaching oftentimes, there's an urgency, thanks be to God. If I ever get up here and you don't feel an urgency, I'll tell you what, you better pray. There's an urgency. It's urgent all the time. His love is urgent. And praise God, we need to be awake and awakened always. It's urgent. So go now and go where? Go to the flock.
and fetch me. Go get it. See the pattern here? The pattern never changes. You go now and you go get it. And what are you going to get? From thence two good kids of the goats. And I love that. Not just one, two. Go get a double portion. It's all over the place, is it not? You see what I'm saying? Just in one verse here, I pray that we just stand up and have to praise the Lord for a little bit. But it's so amazing. So then, here we go. Go now. Go get it. Go in there and get a double portion. And I will make them savory meat for thy father, such that he loves. Are we not feasting on strong meat, savory meat? See, you go in there and you get the double portion, praise God. You go and get it now and you know what you're going to have? You're going to have strong meat. And who loves that? The Father. Well, why wouldn't the Father love it? How's the only way God's pleased? Faith, amen? It's impossible to please God without faith. So the thing that I would believe that my Father would even love the most, and I'm sure he loves a lot, you know, like I say, he loves faith, we know that. But that strong meat faith, he loves that. Oh, praise the Lord. Now just let that kind of sit and percolate there a little bit. So you see that the bridal message is revealed here to us, obviously, and details it. But see, the bride, she feeds. And she feeds not just herself, but the meat for the household. Stand for it in your home. Amen. Praise God. And don't be ashamed of it. Don't fear this world. As I said so sweetly, I remember as the enemy tried to get me to compromise a little bit in raising my sons. And it's like, okay, well, that's great. You know, we're going to have responsible sinning. Come on here, sons. We're going to talk about responsible sinning. What is that? It's just ridiculous. You encourage them in the Word of God. In love. And you lay it out. We're not foolish here. We understand that we are weak. But that doesn't mean that just because I know I'm weak that I'm never going to give opportunity to yield to the Spirit. Amen. We need to encourage one another in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, the enemy, all he wants us to do is to compromise a little bit. You compromise a little and you're going to compromise more. And the Lord will work it out. Sometimes it's not going to be immediate as you would want to see it. Always there's going to be a battle. But I believe the Lord says the battle's mine. And there will be long nights. Ask every mother here. Long nights. And some of them might still be going on. But I know who bottles up every one of my tears. And I know the one whom I call out, that he is faithful and true. You believe him? You believe him for those most tender parts of your heart? Well, that's what got you here tonight. You know that too, don't you? Without those tender parts, I'll tell you what, it says he draws those and draws nigh to the brokenhearted, doesn't he? He loves those that are broken up for him, praise God. So we thank him, and we need to hear the word of God. But then, look at verse 13, what it says there. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Isn't that something? Only obey my voice. Now, I know that's the word of the Lord, but I'll tell you what, it sounds a lot like the Apostle Paul to me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Preach no other gospel. Huh? The secrets of the hearts of men, the secrets of men, they'll be judged according to my gospel.
I mean, she stepped out and told him about go now, all that. And then, you know, let's just make sure you really understand this, son. Only obey my voice. This may not feel right. It may not be popular. You might be thinking, why is it like this? But I'm telling you, if you want it, you better obey only my voice. There you go. What did he get? He got it, didn't he? And you know why? Because he obeyed the word of God. That word was told through that precious vessel, happened to be his mom. The word happened to be told through the precious vessel to us through the Apostle Paul. Doesn't change, does it? It's the word of the Lord. It's anointed. Praise God. And I love it. A 40-year-old fella here, still listening to mom. Go get it. It never... Still listening to the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Is that not like, in a sense, where the word of God says, faith like a child? See, even though I pray that I want to be fully grown in the Lord and the things that he's doing, I know according to the word of God, I'm growing up. A mature son. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But mature because I still have faith like a child when my dad speaks. His word's it. Dad said it. Man, that's done. Huh? Any of you have brothers and sisters and all? And dad said something. Well, dad really didn't know. Yes, he did mean that. He said that. Do you ever have a conversation like that? Or maybe they told you that. Oh, dad didn't mean that. Dad didn't say, oh, yes, he did. Watch the belt come out. Huh? Dad said it. Praise God. So, this is wonderful because it's the word of the Lord. And what a sister, praise God, Rebecca is in the Lord. That's the testimony, by the grace of God, I pray that we have. That we need to encourage one another in that. She was encouraging, yes, her son. But if you think about it, she's encouraging a little brother in the Lord. I want the best for you too, honey. We're going to see... God willing, next week we get together. We'll go on with Rebecca. I don't think we're going to have time to address the next one. But she followed the same pattern for her life that got her the best. Because it couldn't vary. It had to be the same. You're going to see that it was the same. Just like the rib portion that was taken out of Adam that made his wife had to come out of the body of Christ. We're going to see that where did Isaac find his wife? Out of the family of Abraham. That's why Abraham sent the servant to go back to his people. We're not going to find a wife here. They got to find it from the people of God. And they found that one. Amen. We're going to see that again, God willing. She gives the same advice and instruction to Jacob. It does not vary. It never does. It's always the same. And look at the blessing that was put upon his life. The story of Jacob, we know that those tribes came out of him. I'm going to change your name, Israel. Huh? Jesse, I'm going to change your name if you go this way. The Bride of Christ. Isn't that awesome? Amen. See, it doesn't vary. It's just we've got a better thing. We've got exceeding great and precious promises. Hallelujah. See how real this is? See how wonderful the Word of God is? It's so alive. And it's always been alive. It's the only thing that is alive. But it's alive in you. And that's what he wanted. Alive in you. Praise God. So, wrap this up tonight. We're going to, again, you look at what Rebecca taught her son here in verse 20. Of the 27th chapter, it says, and Isaac said unto his son, this is after Jacob goes to him to get that birthright from him, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly? Meaning, he went out there to get that venison to make that pot, that meat for the father. And mom sent him out right away. Amen. So here he goes back to Jacob. You know, he's got the hair on him and everything and smells like his brother and whatever. But he goes back and Isaac says, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Huh? I've said it many times. I've seen people come in here. And they just go. And over the years, I thank the Lord for all of his saints. Don't get me wrong. But I sure thank the Lord for the saints that I'm with at this day and this time. Praise God. But I would see folks literally almost getting upset. Well, they just think that they've gone too fast. They think that they've really gone that far in that short a time. How did you get it so fast? Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Amen. Amen. So, still listening. And he got it all, didn't he? Praise God. It's all been given. It's all grace. And I love when he comes to his dad. And we'll close with this. Verse 21. And this is our father's response every time when we bring him the strong meat. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee. I'll just leave it there. You bring that strong meat into your father, because that's what he loves. And you know, you think about, I was dead in trespasses and sin. I couldn't even come near God. I couldn't have anything to do with him. But then his precious son and the blood, hallelujah. And I draw nigh in full assurance of faith, believing. I'm accepted. I'm highly favored. I'm the elect of God. And praise his name. I bring forth to him the lamb, the blood, praise God, the word of his grace. And I think how, Lord, I get to bring forth to you the strong meat of the word. The grace that causes me to come in the most set apart, holy faith to please you. And sure, to man, there's no way I would be accepted. But I've got the very life. I have put on the new man. You realize that? Do you see how he sees you and adores you? Now bring him the strong meat. Say, Father, this is what I'm feasting on. This is what, praise God, all those ingredients in the word of God has cooked up in me. And I'm bringing it to you, Father. We're feasting, hallelujah. And all he can do is say, oh, come near, I gotta feel you. You get that out of that? I pray you do. Sure love you. Let's stand and be dismissed.